Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Okay. Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight. I'm very excited that you all are here. We're certainly looking forward to all the events and activities of this night's show. So you still have time. Call a family member, call a friend, call somebody and tell them, tonight's show you don't want to miss. This will be a very exciting show tonight, and it'll be very live. And I want you to know that you still got an opportunity out there to call someone. They're going to hate that they missed this show. I can tell you that now. Tonight's topic is, how do I think before I act and doing something so stupid that I later will regret? And this is only part one. You don't want to miss tonight's topic. Call somebody and let them know, listen, you need to be on tonight's show. Let's go ahead and start welcoming my co-host, and we're going to go fast tonight. We're going to ask all of you all, please, 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 try to confine your comments to 20 seconds or less so that we got a lot to cover tonight, probably more than we've had to cover in some previous shows. So please, 20 seconds or less so that, you know, we're putting a timer out here so we don't have to cut people off, because we want to go back to as many people as we can. Ms. J will come in and give us a disclaimer in a little while, but first let's go ahead and welcome our various co-hosts from all over the world. Let's start with Pastor Roe. Pastor Roe, it's always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Great to be on the show and looking forward to some great exchanges and discussions.
All right, excellent. Ms. Jay, we want to go ahead and welcome you. Ms. Jay, it's always a pleasure. Ms. Jay, okay, she'll come back to us in just a moment. Let's go ahead and welcome Woman of Faith. Woman of Faith, thank you for joining us. Good evening. All right, we're missing Woman of Faith too then. Let's go to Dr. Patty Cakes. Dr. Patty Cakes, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hi, glad to be here.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Let's go to Brother Lorenzo. Mr. Lorenzo, nice to have you with us this evening.
Glad to be here, almost in the state of Miami, 74 degrees.
Oh, state of Miami? The city of Miami, you mean?
Yeah, I just left Wisconsin, 4 degrees.
Oh, 4 degrees, wow, excellent.
Four.
We're glad that you're
4 degrees.
Wow, excellent. Stay warm out there. Let's go ahead and bring in Ms. J. Ms. J, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay, yes. Hello, everyone, and I'm glad to be back again, and I'm excited about the topic to see what everybody has to say tonight.
Excellent, excellent. Let's go to Ricky to the Rescue. Ricky to the Rescue, always a pleasure to have you, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here. Hello, everyone, and let's have a great show this evening.
All right, excellent. Let's try Woman of Faith one more time. Woman of Faith, are you there? I thought that she was on. Maybe I'm getting the numbers mixed up.
It's definitely a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so you are there, Woman of Faith. Very good. Okay, thank you. You must have forgotten your stage name. All right, that's all right. Ms. J, you want to go ahead and give us that disclaimer, please?
Okay. Excuse me, I got a little cold today. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the program tonight.
Excellent, excellent. Let's welcome Benny from the block. Benny from the block, nice to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
It's always a pleasure to be on. Good evening, good evening.
Thank you for joining us. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's get ready for tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is how do I think before I act and doing something so stupid that I could later regret, and this is only part one. I think you're going to really enjoy tonight's show. Let me start with Ricky the Rescue. Ricky the Rescue, is it possible, first of all, to think before you act and do something stupid that you could regret? Is it possible?
I definitely think it's possible. There's a technique called mental rehearsal in which you practice scenarios in your mind, you know, before it happens. Of course, it's difficult to prepare for the unknown, or sometimes when you're triggered and you really don't know how you may respond, but I definitely agree that that could happen.
Okay. All right. Certainly. We're going to ask you to stand by, Rick the Rescue. Pastor Rowe, what do you think? Can a person always think before they act? If we could, don't you think the world would be a lot better if you actually thought before you spoke?
Well, I agree with you, you know, and I've been influenced by Napoleon Hill, the Bible first and foremost, and just other, you know, resources he give you. You know, think and grow rich. And one thing he talks about, thoughts become actions and actions become results. You know, so when you think upon certain things, you can materialize those, bring the abstract to the concrete. You know, so, but it's a lot of people, you know, that's in prison right now, and they say, gosh, if I only had thought, I wouldn't be here now. How could I have done something so stupid? So it's, you know, it's good to think before you act.
Okay, that's the amazing question. But Ms. J, let's go to you and say, Ms. J, we all would want to think before we act. But I mean, is that possible? Can you think before you act?
You know, people tend to react; it just comes automatically. But I think, me personally, if it's not no big emergency and all that, and it's not life or death, or you know, why can't just pause for a minute, you know, and just get, you know, just ask myself a few questions. Just take that time. But if it's an emergency, you're going to react. You know, you're not thinking whether you'll regret it later on or not. So it just depends on the situation.
Well, and that's a very good point that you say that. It depends on the situation. We got a story that, and this is only part one of tonight's show, and this story is even going to be continued. But, you know, you just want to really look at this here. Let's go ahead and welcome Ms. Joyce. Ms. Joyce, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you.
Oh, good evening, Dr. Walker and the rest of the co-hosts. I am glad to be on the line this evening.
Okay, excellent, excellent. I want to go ahead and get ready to read this story to you all because it's a powerful story, you all, and it was kind of sad for me. But, of course, as Ms. J said, all the stories are inspired by true events. And, of course, the names always change to protect the innocent. Just on tonight's topic, we already have comments that are starting to come and flood the studio tonight. How do I think before I act and do something stupid, so stupid that I later could regret? Greg and Helen, these are our characters in tonight's story, Greg and Helen. Now, Greg and Helen married. They're 6 months, all right? You want to catch this here now. You want to catch this here. They married just 6 months after Greg's breakup with his ex-girlfriend of 4 years. Him and his ex-girlfriend were together for 4 years. Greg met Helen while visiting one of the churches in his local area. They were actually introduced by a deacon who was a friend of Greg's who actually invited him to church. Now, Greg is 33 years old and Helen is 26 years old. Neither of them has been married and have no children. There is no doubt Helen is very much in love with Greg, but senses that he is a bit reserved at times for some reason unbeknownst to her. Now, Greg and Helen seemed to hit it off very well and within 3 months of dating became engaged to be married. Of course, this was extremely exciting for Helen because she feels that Greg is the perfect gentleman and man of her dreams. Helen has been praying for the past 2.5 years for the right man to come into her life and feels Greg is the answer to her prayers. Greg and Helen have exchanged wedding vows and are now into their third month of marriage. And there's been an unfortunate turn of events, you all. Seriously. All right? Greg recently ran into his ex-girlfriend at the local mall where he has been frequenting, hoping one day to see her. And thus, it happened. Their romance was instantly rekindled because their love for each other never died out. Greg and his ex-girlfriend spent the next 3 hours reminiscing about old times. It was as if they never skipped a beat. As he walked her to her car and continually romantically kissed her, he asked her on a date of which she did not hesitate to accept. They did not want to leave each other's arms, but Greg told her he needed to go because he had to take care of some things. He purposely omitted some pertinent information. For the entire 3 hours, his phone continuously rang, and he graciously ignored it. As Greg was driving home, he had horrible feelings of making a terrible mistake and getting married to Helen because he was still very much in love with his ex-girlfriend. All he could think about was, why didn't I think before I did something so stupid that I would later regret? You know, this is deep. Dr. Patty Cakes, I want to start out with you. Should Greg stand up and just be a man and tell his wife how he feels, you know, that how he is still in love with his ex-girlfriend? Dr. Patty Cakes, I mean, this is a true story.
Yes, I think he should definitely, obviously, tell her. If he doesn't, then that's just wrong.
That's just
wrong. He owes it to her to tell her.
But he's married. He's married, and he couldn't keep his hands off of his ex-girlfriend. I mean, you know how it is, that magnet, that connection there. It's like he ran into her because he kept trying to go there, hoping that he would run into her.
So he needs to tell his wife, right? That's what you're asking. She should tell her, right? Not the other. So to make sure I'm understanding correctly.
Okay, yeah, no, you're right. He should. You feel he should tell her. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to ask you, Dr. Patty Cakes. Miss Joyce, let me bring you in here. Miss Joyce, I mean, seriously, I mean, you're not a man, Miss Joyce, but, I mean, you know, and you're probably saying thank God for that. But the fact of the matter is, here it is over here. This man is love. Percy Sledge got it right when he said, when a man loves a woman. Miss Joyce, I mean, maybe he can't help himself.
Wow. Greg definitely, he was weak. I don't know if he rushed into the situation with Helen, knowing that he was not totally out of love with his ex-girlfriend of 4 years, and then now he is back lusting for her, and you know, they meet up, and now he's cheating on Helen. So he's got to make some choices here because he needs to tell both of them what's going on. This is not something you keep from either one.
Miss J, let me bring you in here, Miss J. And, I mean, Miss J, it's sometimes it's hard to be a man. There's a song, sometimes it's hard to be a woman. And, Michelle, it's hard to be a man sometimes when your emotions and your feelings are just tied up in somebody else you love. Sometimes you just can't help yourself.
You know what, man or woman, I was told when I started back dating, try not to date a person that just got over a relationship because, number one, they have not healed most likely. And Greg, he definitely had not healed. And, you know, from this relationship. And he did not think. He did not ask himself impertinent questions. Am I ready to move forward? So he just grabbed Helen up on the rebound. You know, his heart was still with his ex, and he made him a show enough big mistake that he is regretted. And three months, he needs to go and get annulment, you know, because Helen's going to be unhappy because it's going to continue.
Wow. So, Miss G, I heard you laugh. You chuckled over there. And it sounds like he wanted to say he wasn't thinking with his head
no,
on his
He wasn't thinking with his top head. He wasn't. And he's a man. And women are like that too. But he didn't want to be alone. That's what it sounded like. He didn't want to be cold at night. So,
okay.
You know.
All right. We're going to ask standby. Pastor Rowe, can all just be forgiven? And Pastor Rowe, I mean, there were people in the Bible that, you know, had two wives. You know, I mean, couldn't all just be forgiven and he date both of them? What do you think, Pastor Rowe?
Well, you know, one thing that you mentioned, Dr. Walker, you know, when you started off, you talked about Helen saw that Greg was reserved, you know, and
I
think that reserved, you know, he was thinking. You know, he wasn't acting, you know, with spontaneity. He was reserved because he was thinking. But one thing I will say to you, there's always someone in your life that you can talk to, whether it's your pastor, a brother, your mother, or whatever. You know, sometimes it's good to reconcile, you know, get thoughts and opinions. You know, pastor, I just met this person, and you know, And give me your thoughts. Do you think I should, or do you think some people may say, well, you need to make your own choices and decisions. But it's good. That's what pastors are for, you know, close friends, you know. But these thoughts will come to you, and when the thoughts come to you, we got to have the mind of Christ. When he saw that the devil saw that he was hungry 40 days out there, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So when these thoughts come, we need to tell them thoughts. If it doesn't reconcile what it should be and we align with Christ, we need to tell those thoughts to get behind me. So that's
right,
just my thoughts,
that.
You know.
Right. Pastor Roll, I want to keep
okay.
you here just because you say talk to your pastor or somebody else. But see, it's easier to tell somebody else to do something when sometimes we're not doing the right
That's
thing
true.
Ourselves. Just this week I got a
That's
call
true.
That a pastor had been seeing this woman and, you know, for a while, and he was married, and all of a sudden he moved out of the state, you know, trying to get away from the woman, and the woman moved into the state and met his wife. And one day he comes home, and the wife is sitting there, the girlfriend is sitting there with his wife having a conversation. And she's telling her everything that's going on, and the woman ended up, it's public information, the woman ended up shooting the pastor right there and killing him. So, you know,
right.
though he may have been given counseling, I'm not just picking on pastors, of course, this can happen to anybody. It's just people get
right.
caught up. Ricky to the Rescue, I'm going to bring you in here, and Ricky to the Rescue, I mean, people might say, well, think before we act and do something stupid, but here's the challenge. How do you just, you know, I mean, even David in the Bible saw Bathsheba, and it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, I can't help myself. I got to have her. So, Ricky to the Rescue, how could somebody possibly stop and I heard Miss J say pause. Okay, pause. But can you really pause? Can you?
Well, I think it's difficult for Greg because he has some unaddressed emotions and some unresolved feelings. If you kind of listen to the story, you know, they got into their relationship and marriage pretty quickly. And so it's almost like he never dealt with the unresolved issues from the ex-girlfriend, you know, because we're familiar with suppression, but we're not as familiar with what's called repression. It's almost like he pretended like those feelings didn't exist. And then, you know, once he saw it, it just all came out. And so I think if he did a better job of dealing with those unresolved feelings and unaddressed emotions, then he could get to a position where he's able to stop and think. But I don't even think that's going to happen until those issues get addressed.
Well, absolutely, and that's the concern. That's the whole thing about it. I mean, he just meets this woman and then goes there and falls, you know, and it never said that he was in love with her. He just, I mean, she's clearly a rebound situation. Benny from the Block, I want to bring you in here. And Benny from the Block, what's your take on this here, 20 seconds or less? I mean, Greg just, he just got caught up. Should he now try to make amends?
Well, I think Greg is an immature man, and that happens a lot. Immature people make immature decisions quickly, fast, without all consideration. They just go into it full-fledged. And so the problem is he's teetered from immaturity in making a decision to marry to being foolish because now he wants to go back and rekindle with his girlfriend. When you make a decision to do something as big as marriage, you should take that into full consideration. It's not a play-play. It's not like a rehearsal. You are dealing with people's lives and emotions and feelings. So, therefore, I just think he was foolish in his thoughts and his decisions.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to certainly stand by. Brother Lorenzo, I'm going to bring you in here, and we'll come right back to you in just a second. Brother Lorenzo, I want to bring you in here and ask, I mean, I hear all of us can always say that, you know, it's immaturity, but we can all, none of us are exempt from doing something stupid that we can later regret. I got a call this week that a lady said to me, she says, you know what, we're all just one move or one thought from being in trouble with the law. How true is that, Brother Lorenzo?
That's very true. That's why I play a lot of chess. You know what I mean? You got to, before you touch a man, you got to think before you move. So you getting in positions where you're screwed up like Greg, but Helen got a lot to do with it too because she was the Helen was the rebound later with that he married, but he still had feelings for the other woman. But the other woman should have done, knowing that they was broken up, try to find clues and stuff like that, like the wedding ring on your finger, see if you could find an indention on her finger or something like that. Something was missing and when the time that goes by, that person has changed. She should have found out more things about him before she started making love to him.
Okay, very good point. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. A woman of faith, let's bring you in here. Woman of faith, I mean, it's easier said than done. We can all say that somebody should have done this, they should have done that, but what should she have really done? I mean, what could have been done? Is it really his ex-girlfriend's fault? I mean, she's not looking for no ring, and even if there was a ring, in today's time, to a lot of people, that doesn't matter. Woman of faith, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's his girlfriend's fault. I think it's his fault. He was the one that acted out on impulse, and it doesn't seem like he loved himself or even loved either of these young ladies, because for him to make such decisions, it seemed to me that he doesn't even know what he wants in his life.
Okay, all right, okay. So a woman of greatness, I mean, woman of faith, have you ever kind of like made a mistake in your life that you regretted? Have you ever?
I don't think I've made a mistake so great in my life that I regret it. I always try to think out before I do things. I don't think I've done anything that I regretted. Most things that I've done, I think I take a lot of thought in doing them, and even if I did make a mistake, I try not to see it as a mistake. I just see it as a lesson learned.
I see. All right. Well, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by, and we're going to take some of the comments that are coming in. Just a second, Ms. Joyce, I want to bring you back in here. Ms. Joyce, I mean, here it is now, and this is only part one. You got to hear part two because the story gets even deeper. It gets even deeper in part two. So, Ms. Joyce, I mean, you would think that it can't even get any worse than this. So let me ask you this question. Greg now is all, like, his mind is just spinning. He doesn't know what to do. He's got a wife now. He's got his ex-girlfriend. He may love his wife, but he's in love with his ex-girlfriend. Ms. Joyce, is it possible to love two people at the same time?
I'm not going to say you can't love two people at the same time, maybe on different levels, that of the love that you have for each one of them. In Greg's case, though, I think he's very immature thinking. Being 33 years old, I don't think he's grown enough in his maturity and the way he handled his problems, his issues. If he was hasty when he got engaged to Helen after 3 months, you know, because and like she knew something was not right. He knew in the back of his mind that he may have made a mistake, I believe. He knew that. So I don't know. I don't think he's really in love with Helen, tell you the truth.
Okay.
He
we're
may not be
next.
In love with either one of them, but he's very confused.
All right. He's not confused. And you know what,
nah.
Dr. Patty Kings, I want to bring you back in. Brother Lorenzo, we're going to come to you in just a second, and Ms. J as well. Stand by. But Dr. Patty Kings, I don't think he's immature. I don't think because of what he did is immaturity, because if that's the case, we can be 60 and 70 years old and still doing certain things that are stupid that we could later regret. So does maturity really, in your opinion, have anything to do with it? I mean, it's almost like you almost got to be
there's
perfect.
Nothing worse than a
it does
old
not exist. Dr. Patty Case, your thought.
I mean, I think the maturity has a lot to do with it. I mean, it's proven, too, that the prefrontal cortex, which we talked about last week, is
right.
in charge of executive decision-making, rational thinking. It's not even fully developed until you're 25 years old. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, experience, maturity, but that's what you're saying, too. I feel like he might still be in love with, obviously, he, like you said, hasty. I think that, you know, he's not dedicated to her when she got married in the first place. So that goes back to that maturity thing. He wasn't making the best decision at the time. So now he's kind of caught in the middle.
Okay. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by. So we're talking about a maturity issue now. So if that's the case, we're talking about maturity or immaturity. I mean, the various theories, even Abraham Maslow, the father of modern psychology, is identified as that. But when we talked about the frontal lobe and everything, the executive decision-making part of our brain, it's like we just mess up. When it comes to love, love is, you've heard me say it before on the show, it's considered to be the strongest force in the universe. Who can control love?
Mm-hmm.
Who can really help who they love? So let's bring in Benny from the block real quickly here. Ricky to Rescue, we're going to get to you in just a second. Benny from the block, I mean, can you really help who you love? Can you really?
Well, you can't help who you love, but it's acting upon that. You know, we meet people all the time, we just fall in love with. We're men. We were designed to fall in love. That's why we have women, or whatever you choose. But the point of the matter is we have to be cognizant of our own thoughts. We got to capture our own thoughts. And so I'm going to take it to a whole different level. That same kind of love we were talking about has now permeated in men's minds and sometimes women to make them think it's okay to be in love with a little child or be in love with different things. So we have to be very careful when we say love. Is it love or is it lust? And the last thing I want to say in 2 seconds, there's nothing worse than a old fool. There's nothing worse.
Okay. All right, certainly. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to phone lines. I'm not sure which number. It didn't come up into the queue. Okay, it just that caller. All right, we're going to ask, if you got noise in your background, please be so kind to mute yourself. If you got some noise going on because it's coming to the studio. Brother Lorenzo, I want to bring you in here real quickly. Pastor, we're going to come to you in a second, Ms. J. Brother Lorenzo, I mean, here we are. Helen and clearly saw, you know, some reservations with this man. I mean, it could have been he was having a bad day or a bad week or a bad month. But she was excited. She felt this was the answer to her prayer. Do you think she would now feel disappointed?
Who would feel disappointed, Helen?
Yeah, would she feel disappointed if she found out her husband was cheating on her?
Yeah, she'd feel disappointed. You would too. You know, look, every man know what he's doing. You know, it all depends on the character of that man. You know if you're going to mess around with a woman, you're going to think before you move. Okay, you're going to go with it. Then go with it. But okay, that's the kind of person that you are. Now he's in the middle of a crossroads in his life, whether to tell his wife whom he's supposed to love before he married her, and now to the woman that he's so-called in love with. So now he's at the point he might decide to have the cake and eat it too, or tell his wife, which he should do. But the character in him might choose have his cake and eat it too, and don't tell his wife.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. J, I want to bring you in here. Ms. J, is it that bad? If you can have your cake and eat it too, is that so bad?
You know, I was thinking that way. I don't think that he was immature. I think he was being a man.
I don't either.
He just wants love. He don't want to be alone. And you say he never did tell her that he loved her, so he just wanted the woman. And my thought is, Helen, to me, is the main one who wasn't thinking. You know, I'm going to flip it on us. She wasn't thinking. This man, after 6 months, they going to be married. In 3 months, they engaged, and he just got out of a relationship. Come on, Helen. You know, Helen had that gut feeling about him being reserved as a reservation. She should have listened to that. Maybe Helen was listening to, I don't know what she was listening to, but it wasn't that brain on top of her head either.
Amen.
So, but Ms. Amen. Jay, the fact that she's been praying for 2.5 years that the right man comes into her life, and she's thinking,
and she was anxious.
I mean, she's thinking God sent this man, Ms. Jay.
She was anxious. She was anxious. The first man that came 3 months and you engaged to him, she was just anxious to get that man, you know. So she wasn't thinking either. And she the number one that wasn't thinking because Greg was thinking. He just wanted him a woman.
Okay. Okay. All right, we're going to actually stand by. Woman of faith, I want to bring you in here before we go to the comments. Woman of faith, I mean, woman of faith, haven't you prayed for something and it came and then it turned out that, okay, that was not. Really, that must God must not have sent me that. That may have been my anxiousness. Talk to me, woman of faith.
I actually know the situation where that happened. A friend of mine got married to someone because she felt that God told her for her, and it turned out a month later that he was not the person for her. So
okay,
I don't think, I mean, maybe her thoughts at the time might have said God that this person for me, because he seemed alone at the time, and he seemed, you know, like the person that fits in perfectly at the time. So that's what her thoughts were telling her at the time. But did she really pray about that, or did she just was quickly to just act out on what she was feeling?
All right. I mean, we can all look at different scenarios of whether she prayed, whether God sent it to her, but the woman there for 2.5 years praying. Ricky the Rescue, I want to bring you in here. Ricky the Rescue, I mean, if someone innately feels that this is what I want, I have hope, I have faith that this is happening. Okay, so how can you differentiate that God didn't send this here, in your opinion, Ricky the Rescue, and it was something that my free will, you know, accepted?
And I am very interested to hear Pastor Rose take on this as well, but I do feel like from an emotional standpoint, sometimes we kind of force a feeling in a sense based upon how we feel. And so that part of it, to me, a lot of times could actually be different from, I guess, the spiritual side of it, right? I think it depends on which perspective we're looking at it from. Because when we start talking about, especially how Greg was being so impulsive and things of that nature, that's all emotion. And so I know we're trying to look at it from the standpoint of thinking, right? But you can't include both because they're really separate things. So I really just feel like it depends on the lens in which we're looking at it.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Roll, let's bring you in here. We're trying to get an opinion here. What do you think, Pastor Roll? I mean, we can just all be forgiven. It's easier said than done. We're almost out of time here. How do I think before I act and doing something so stupid? I mean, here you got this. Greg's in a serious dilemma, a serious dilemma. You know, so Pastor Roll, give us your thoughts.
Well, I understand, you know, thoughts and temptations and all that, you know. You know, there's a saying that all that glitters is not gold. You know, you got a lot of counterfeits out there, you know, and I know that, you know, scripture, there's a way that seemeth right, you know, but the end thereof is the ways, you know, of destruction, you know. But, you know, back in our days, Dr. Walker, you remember those days, you know, I was influenced a lot by Sam Cooke and some of the other ones. But you remember that song, I Got Two Lovers and I Ain't Sharing, let me tell you about my, you know, we've been influenced that we can have two, but we know when we reconcile things with the word of God, we know what's right and what's wrong. But we just got to, you know, all that we do, there's a person, he's wonderful counselor, mighty God, and he's the Prince of Peace. So maybe we need to consult the right counselor, which is our
okay,
Lord
okay, so
Savior,
we're
going to
actually
Jesus
stand
Christ.
By on that note, though, Pastor Rowe. I mean, here we're saying that, you know, I got two lovers, and we know the song. Yes, I love them both the same. So then the wisest man, according to the Bible, that ever lived, Solomon, King Solomon, had 300
mm-hmm.
wives. Or 700 wives, 300 wives and 700 concubines. So now, I mean, the wisest man that ever lived. So now, with that in mind, was he not thinking? This is the wise. Now, we got to be careful what we say here, because that was the wisest man that ever lived. Was he not thinking?
Well, there's a
or was
way
he having a chicken
right.
either too, Pastor Rowe?
Yeah, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is the ways of death, you know. So, I mean, he might have had all these concubines. Worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, you know, there's a difference. You know,
but
we got to do the
made
right
him
thing.
The wise. We're going to ask you to stand by. Benny from the Block, I want to bring you in here. Benny from the Block, same question here. The wisest man that ever lived, and I know what he said about it all. He said, vanity and vexation of spirit. But could a man like that have just had one woman? Come on, seriously?
Well, in his case, no, because he started leaning to his own understanding. But if you read that story carefully, you'll find out that not only was he depressed in that whole situation, he became destructive in his life. So he just moved away from that wisdom. That's why we got to be specific about what kind of wisdom we have. There's a lot of wisdom that's unnecessary that we utilize that has no real basis for what our desire and our goal and our journey is. But then that's a whole other story.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. But being from the Block, did he ask God for wisdom, or did God give him the wisdom? He asked for something else, and God gave him the wisdom. Or did he ask for wisdom?
He did ask for wisdom. But again, the wisdom that God had given him to do a specific deal, he ended up leaning to his own wisdom that, you know, because he had so much wisdom, he started leaning to his own thoughts, his own ways. And so he became smarter than the God that gave it to him in his own identity.
I mean, well, okay, we're going to stand by. But, Miss J, here you're talking about a man, a king, not your ordinary guy, a king who, when these two women came to him and one said her baby had died and she wanted that other lady's baby, and now when she comes before King Solomon to decide, he says, well, okay, what we'll do is we'll split the baby in half and we'll give one to the one mother and one to the other mother, and then the mother of the child said, let me just give the baby to that other mother. And that let King Solomon know who the rightful mother was. I mean, you're talking about a man of wisdom, a man of wisdom. Aren't there times when women, and we're not just putting this on men, but aren't there times when your minister is speaking and he's so eloquent with his speech and may have on nice suit and look relatively well? Aren't the women sometimes... don't they adore that? Aren't they falling towards that as opposed to the word that he's presenting? Miss J, talk to me.
Oh, yeah. You find a lot of women come to church just to look at the good-looking pastor, and they get bits and pieces from the word. Yeah, that happens.
Right. So here we have. Okay, so, so it does happen. Miss Joyce, I want to bring in here. Miss Joyce. How can we, okay, can you avoid hearing the word when you see this good-looking pastor up there? Miss Joyce, talk to me. Come on, seriously.
You know, some people do, like Miss Jay said, they come to church for the wrong reason, you know, because you can stay home and look at church on TV. But, you know, you come to church for sometimes, some people do, go to church with the intent of lust in their heart, because they're not there to get the word. They're there because they're looking for something. And some, it's sad, but it has happened. I know it.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask all of you all to stand, but we got to take some of these comments. They're threatening me already over here now. We've got noise in somebody's background. If you'll be so kind to mute yourself. Let me start out over here, woman of faith. Woman of faith, we want to go to you first and ask this question. This person sends in a message. She says, how do I think before I act and doing something so stupid or later that I will regret? If only I knew back then what I know now, I would be so much further in life. I am 53 years old and still have not owned a new car or own the home. I keep making bad decisions, getting with the wrong men. Somehow or other, I'm not processing my thinking skills. What do you say to her? She's 53, woman of faith. She's not getting it.
Well, first of all, I would ask her to list her priorities with the key one on the slide. It's never too late to develop specific skills, even years old, but it's time to stop, think, and realize the mistakes that she makes, try to really decide what she really wants out of life.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Brother Lorenzo, I want to bring you in here with the same information here. She's 53 and says she, you know, she keeps doing the same thing, and we know the definition of insanity, but she's making bad decisions. I mean, what would you tell her from a man's perspective?
I guess she just want to make the same decision. You know, you get to a point in your life where you're young and you make mistakes, but you learn from them. But as you get older, you're still making the same mistakes. It becomes redundant, and it becomes as you have a habitual lifestyle in that. So just like my man, Ricky to the Rescue said, or Benny from the Block said, it's nothing worse than an old fool. So, and at the end of your day, it's going to reflect that.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by, Brother Lorenzo. Dr. Patty Case, I want to bring you in here for this next one, this next comment that is coming to the studio as well. This male, he says, wow, Dr. Walker, this is probably one of the best questions that anyone could be asked. How do I think before I act and doing something to avoid doing something so stupid or later regret? I have so many regrets that I wish I could have thought about before I jumped into them. My third marriage was one of them, and it lasted for less than 2 years. What a headache. Dr. Patty Cakes, three times marriage, and he still didn't get it. What do you say to this guy?
You know, I've been married twice, and marriage is hard, you know, and some people, I mean, both, my mother is on her third marriage, and I think that at that point, it's hard not to question yourself, you know, and think, well, is there something wrong with me? But, it, you know, the thing that has to come together to make a marriage work, even when you have God first in your life or you're striving for that, it is so hard. So I would say try not to let that be like a complex to you, because even with my one divorce, I feel like when people find out I'm divorced, I feel like that's like a scarlet letter, like, oh my gosh, she's divorced. Like, wonder what happened there. You know, why did she get divorced? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, it goes both ways. Like, I don't want them to feel shame or bad because marriage is very hard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone deserves love, and, you know, it stinks that once people get to that, you know, that, you know, cliche or whatever, oh, they've been married so many times, like, that, what am I trying to say, that labeling, it's not fair, you know, and you can psych your own self out with that labeling as well, but you just pray and ask God for guidance and just, like, take one step at a time.
So, Dr. Pancakes, before you go, I want to this part here, because you're so right with that labeling. So, I mean, it becomes there's a stigma associated with when you meet somebody and you say, like, I talk to people all the time. And, you know, I recently, you know, talked with a lady, and in fact, about three or four of them recently within the last couple of months. And these women have been, like, you're saying, when you're dealing with them and their client and, you know, you're talking to them, and they say, well, I've been married four times, and my husband recently, this fourth husband, left. And I'm so, you know, I'm done with it. I'm just mad with men right now. I'm done. I mean, four times. So, you know, I almost kind of like, even as the therapist, kind of back up and look and say, well, did you, you know. So, Dr. Pettycates, why, in your opinion, is there this stigma? Is it because people are like, could they be making the mistake themselves and not looking in the mirror, not thinking before they act?
I mean, I think that's the easiest thing to say to yourself, right? Like, okay, this happened three times, four times. That's where the devil wants to just be like, okay, obviously it's me. And at the same time, clinically, you do need to evaluate. Like when I did divorce care, they'd say your picker is off. Like so your thing in your brain that's picking this person, like, is there a codependency? Is there a toxic you know, things haven't healed from your childhood, why you're attracted to this particular person. So it's important to evaluate all of that stuff, have guidance from a godly person in your life, and then also know that you deserve love. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, marriage is, I think it's so hard. You know, even there's, I don't know. This is why I think Jesus didn't get married. I don't know. I think it's in the Bible. It's easier. It says it's easier if you don't get married. But the stigma, you asked about the stigma. It's easy to do the stigma. It's easy to do the stigma. We're so judgy. We're so judgy about people, even as moms, as friends. You know, we look at people and say, oh, well, she looks this way. I bet she, you know, she should look better and take better care of herself. I mean, it's the same thing with that. When I'm out and about and I look like a hot mess, I'm thinking other moms are staring at me thinking, oh, look at her. You know, it's so easy to do that. And with these people that have been married, it's the same thing. People will look at you differently, and you hesitate
they
to
sure
share
do.
That information.
They sure do. They really do. They really do.
They do.
Dr. Case, I want to stand by. Pastor Lord, I want to bring you in here. She said Jesus didn't get married. You know, I don't want to get in trouble with you, God. You know, Jesus, please. I'm just, you know, I'm just asking a question here. So Jesus looked at this world and say, after 33 years, I can't take. I mean, you know, what do you think? I mean, we know he was dead. Go ahead, Pastor Lord.
Well, Jesus did get married, and I'm not being inappropriately witty, you know, but he said he's married to the backslider.
To the church.
You know, right, to you know, those that, you know, fall away, you know. But in our world, you know, we know that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results, you know. But we got to learn how to get the right counselor. You know, and you got this Blog Talk Radio show going, and of course we get good thoughts and ideas and things that we can interact and we can exchange thoughts and ideas, and we ultimately can come up with the right thoughts. You know, that's one thing that makes our program, almost say your program, a great program, because we can help a lot of people and influence their relationships. It's all about establishing relationship, but last but not least, having the right relationship with yourself, not only coworkers and marriage partners and so on and so forth. So we just have to consult the one that is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, and that's the one that we serve. He'll give us the right prescription
all right.
for the problems that we have.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Miss J, I want to bring you back in here. Miss J, Elizabeth and Rick Zareski, I want to bring you in also with the same question along the same line. Elizabeth Taylor did it 7 times, and then oftentimes now you hear preachers who get up, and I mean, I've even used this here. It says, when they've introduced me to come and speak, and I say, well, I'm going to do like Elizabeth Taylor did. I'm not going to hold you very long. So that's your icebreaker, because she did it 7 times, Miss J, so... It's like she just didn't, you know, what was that about? Did anybody stereotype her, or was it that her beauty was so enticing that they overlooked her because of her celebrity and her beauty? What was it, Michelle, in your opinion?
Well, I think they did stereotype her. I did, because I'm
okay.
Like, who in the world you want 7 husbands? But anyway, she probably had a purpose for each one of them, you know. That's all I got to say.
All right, Ricky, the rest of you, I'm going to bring you in here. What are your thoughts? And Dr. Patrick, I want to bring you back in here with Elizabeth Taylor, too. But first, let's go to Ricky to the rescue. Ricky to the rescue, I mean, here it is. If the woman is drop-dead gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous like Elizabeth Taylor, and she wasn't getting no fly-by-night guys. She was getting guys who were rich, extremely rich, you know, 7 husbands. So, I mean. Didn't they stereotype, or did they, or did they just say, no, you getting Elizabeth Taylor? Hey.
And I think women probably get stereotyped more than anyone else. And, you know, in situations like that, you would be very surprised when you think someone is the most beautiful woman, the most attractive woman on the planet, and they actually be the most depressed, because it's almost like they're trying to uphold an image or a standard that was created by everybody else except by them. right? And so just trying to live up to that standard, up to that image is what creates a lot of this confusion, because I think and oftentimes they try to be something that they're truly not.
All right, that's a very good point, Rick Zareski. We're going to ask standby Dr. Petty, because we want to bring you back in here. We've got a lot still to cover you all, and we're just not – time won't even permit. Oh, we're running out of time. Dr. Petty, I want to bring you back in here. If a man – you think any of those men were stereotyped who married Elizabeth Taylor, who even left their wives to marry her? You think they were stereotyped? I mean, it's like, I'm married to Elizabeth Taylor? I mean, seriously?
I'm confused. I don't know what you mean by the stereotype of in leaving.
Well, stereotype.
One more time. I don't get
that. It's like, okay, she's been married 7 times. So you stereotype her and say,
right. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I didn't know that. I'm sorry, but I didn't even know Elizabeth Taylor was married 7 times. That must be common knowledge to some people, huh? Oh,
uh-huh.
Man. Showing my age. I don't know. It's really hard. I mean, I still don't really quite understand. I'm sorry what you're asking about.
It's not about love.
Okay, it's not about love. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Dr. Patty Case. Let's bring Brother Lorenzo in here. Brother Lorenzo, I mean, just common knowledge here about Mariah Carey. Let's just take Mariah Carey, for example. Beautiful voice. I don't know much about her character, but a very good-looking woman. If she was married 5 times, you think a man really, Brother Lorenzo, would be concerned that she's been married 5 times if he had an opportunity to be married to Mariah Carey? What do you think, Brother Lorenzo?
When it gets to that point, it's not about love. It's about prestige, power, status.
Mm.
That's what it's about.
Okay.
So I think after your second time, or the first second time of being married, I think it's not any more love. So you already got the other two people that you got to compare the other husbands or the wives to. So it's not really about love. It's about power and status and prestige.
Okay, so Brother Lorenzo, do you in your view of Mariah Carey, would you say she's a relatively good-looking woman, or would you say she's really a beautiful woman? What would you say?
I say she's good-looking with the makeup, but she's average without the makeup. I always look at
Have you seen her without the makeup?
I've seen her without the makeup. She's average, but with the makeup, she's a beautiful woman. Moses only had the shepherd woman in the. And the other woman always asks, what you see in the shepherd woman? That's how I look. That's how I look at women.
I see. Okay, we're going to certainly ask you, Sam, but we still got a lot to cover you all. Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Miss J, I mean, let's just say if the guy, Miss J, I want to bring you in, Miss J, if the guy, how do I think before I act? If the guy, some ladies at your church says, child, please, this guy, this pastor, he is fine as wine. He is tall and just very good looking. Girl, come to church with me. Miss J, would that entice you to go to church to hear the word? Come on, Miss J, really? Or are you going to look at that man?
Well, I wouldn't go, with me personally, I wouldn't go out my way just to go and hear him preach. But if I wasn't doing nothing and it was Sunday that I wasn't doing nothing, I'm not going there and check him out. But then I would like to see how did he speak the word, too.
I see,
but of course, but he could be a distraction. He really could.
He could be. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. T, I want to give you this next comment. We're almost out of time here. I want to give you this next comment, but before we do, let's take a quick commercial break. Rick to Rescue, give us a commercial break first, and then we'll go to Marjorie Cross. Thank you, Rick to Rescue.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Again, I am Rick to the Rescue, a founder of A Path to Greatness, LLC, located in Decatur, Georgia, where we provide life coaching services for anyone who's seeking to adjust their lives and searching for life goals. The services also includes mediation and anger management as well. The participation can be involved in either individual or group sessions. You can visit the website at twogreatness.com. That is spelled with the number 2greatness.com. You can also give us a call at 404-968-9940. Again, that telephone number is 404-968-9940. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Certainly. Rings and Rescue, we're going to ask you to stand by. Marjorie Cross, let's give you a commercial break. Ms. Cross, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thanks for your patience.
Yes, you're welcome. Yes, good evening, Dr. Walker. Good evening, Pastor Roland, to all your co-hosts and everyone on the show. One thing I want to add about Elizabeth, she was married 8 times. She was married 8 times, but
she married
Richard Burton twice.
Okay,
right.
She had several, right.
She had 7 husbands, and she married Richard twice. So she was married 8 times. Anyway, I just wanted to put that in. Yeah. So my name is Marjorie Cross, and I'm a nurse and a health and wellness consultant with one of the most leading companies in the world. And we have many health products that may be able to help you with any different health condition. We have over 150 products that may be able to help you. You can give me a call at 786-319-7223. Again, my number is 786-319-7223. Or you could go to the website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. Thank you. God bless you all, and have a great night.
Oh, thank you so very much. Benny from the block, you want to close us out in about 2.5 minutes? Benny from the block?
Yes.
Okay, how do I think before I act and doing something so stupid that I later will regret? Part one. All right, we'll come back to you in about 2.5 minutes. All right, I want to go to a woman of faith now. I want to go with you with this next comment. Oh, we still got a lot to cover you all. She says, this male, he writes in and he says, I have done some really stupid things in my 43 years of living. One of the biggest regrets I have is living beyond my means. I am in so much debt. Until I feel like I'm drowning. My problem was trying to keep up with the Joneses. I wish I had thought before I acted. What do you say about that? What do you tell them, woman of faith?
I'm sure we all have got to that point where we all think that, but is it too late for him? No. He still has time to reevaluate all the things that he's done and make a budget for himself. Or decide what he can eliminate or how to make things right.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. I want to go to Ms. Joyce. Ms. Joyce, I want to bring you in here now with this next comment. This female, she says, I'm not sure if it's always possible to think before we act. For example, I married my second time around knowing that there were several red flags. What can I say? I was 39 and madly in love. It was the worst mistake I ever made. 11 months later, I was in divorce court. And the strange thing is I'm still in love with that idiot. You know, that's what she wrote here, so I'm just quoting what she said here. Ms. Joyce, how do you explain that? She's still in love with him.
Well, it sounds like a sad, hopeless situation that you're in love with somebody that you don't like. I mean, you know, you have to like the person, first of all, before you can love them. So she got some issues going on, and she's in a difficult situation, and she needs to get out of that situation so she can find some happiness for herself.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by 15 seconds or less. Bring it to the rescue here. This guy, he writes in and he says, I don't think there's a magic formula in thinking before you act. Perhaps if there were, then so many people would not be in trouble that they are in now. That's just my opinion. I wish there was a formula. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, it may not be a magical formula, but you can kind of rehearse in your mind things. Of course, when our brain goes into reactive mode, we do reactive things. Even a simple example, if it's going to rain outside, you'll take an umbrella. But if, you know, a car is about to hit your loved one, all of that goes out the window and you go rush to save them. So you can't prepare for everything. However, there are times that you have to just understand how to deal with the reactive brain.
There you go. Very interesting point. Benny from the block, we're going to bring you in to close us out. We're going to give you this this closing thought here. Well, this actually this last comment, and then you can respond to that and then close that quickly, please. This woman, she says, Dr. Walker, after listening to your show for over 5 years now, I have learned so much about life in general, and I think I can really now say that I use my thinking skills. I owe a great deal of it due to listening to your shows. Your shows really make people think deeply. Thank you, sir. Please keep up the good work. Block, you can thank her for me, but give us your closing thoughts on even that, listening to the show, as Pastor Roe would say.
Well, I want to thank her for that. That is an absolute true statement. We were designed to be in community, to talk, to share things. That's the reason we were all created, to learn from each other. If there was somebody who was experiencing somebody, it was somebody usually a little bit older that could give them good advice to help them along the way. We as young people were supposed to look forward to people who are older than us to kind of pattern our lives in a way that we could avoid certain situations and issues. So we're going to get back to the line of the story. We have to be in control of our own cognizant mind, our own cognizant thoughts. We have had good examples throughout our lives. And if even we haven't had good examples, we have been around people who were good examples to help us make better decisions about our lives. If you cannot capture your own thoughts, then you are a person that's just living in a fallacy world where you can just do whatever you want, think whatever you want, and be whatever you want. But if you can capture your thoughts, your decisions do not have to be made based on how other people see you. Your decisions have to be made on the innate spirit that you have inside of you to teach you to grow, to be better, to be smarter, to learn, because your life is an example of who you are. So therefore, we shouldn't judge each other based on what we think, what we see. We don't know a person's life. If you've been married 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times, the point is you still have something in you that desires to have a mate, that desires to be loved, that desires to have the things in your heart. If you have married somebody and you desire somebody else, then you should be respectful enough to go to the other person, explain to them the circumstances, and then at least move on with your life without putting them in all kinds of traumatic situations, emotional changes. We should make decisions based on our maturity, take our time, allow ourselves to digest major decisions that are life changers. And that way, we won't be so quick to make a bad choice that we have to learn a hard lesson for. Like, for instance, a lady that killed her pastor husband, we can make good choices that say, hey, look, I married you. I thought it was what I wanted. I'm sorry, it's not what I want, but I want to respect you enough to treat you correctly as a woman and let you know this is where I am, and let's talk about this. Let's get counseling and see how we can move forward from this situation. Thank you all, and have a great night.
All right, thank you so very much, Benny from the Block, for that closing thought. I certainly do appreciate all of you all being on the line with us tonight. We're clearly out of time. You're threatening me over here to get off the air. Listen, before I get off the air, join us here tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's show you don't want to miss, and this was part one. Part two will be coming forthcoming on this particular show in the very near future. You don't want to miss part two. But tomorrow night's show is going to be, can or will God help me to think before I do something so stupid or that I will later regret? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. Can or will God help me to think before I do something so stupid or later regret? Listen, until tomorrow night, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, join us tomorrow night. If you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program, we'll be back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Until tomorrow night or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, everyone. Good night.
Great closing, Benny, on the Block. You did great, and the show was good. Everyone, keep safe and keep well.
Bye. Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Take care. Great show, great closing. Bye.
Amen.
Amen, Mr. Lorenzo.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Sister Marjorie Cross.
And amen,
amen, Pastor.
Okay, Brother Lorenzo, drive safely. That's where Marjorie is. She's in Miami, Florida.
I'm almost in Miami. I've got about another hour. I'll be good.
Oh, wow. Keep safe on the road. Keep safe on the road. God be with
you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
God bless.
God bless you all.